Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. Come on in. Come and take a seat and welcome to those who might be listening in online this morning on this cold and wet day. But thank you for joining us this morning for church. We trust that you'll continue to keep safe and be encouraged as we meet together. For those listening in and or visiting our service today, my name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church, and we welcome you. We invite you to live life God's way according to His Word, as we so choose to do. We here at Abbotsford Anglican are ordinary people, well, from all walks of life, and we want to please Jesus and follow Him. Involved in our service today is Janice, who will read the set Bible reading for us. Our musos are Adele on the keyboard, and Rosemary and Young Lan and David are our song leaders, and David will lead us in prayer today as well. This morning we continue our Bible teaching through the book of Acts of the Apostles. We're listening to the ministry of Jesus continuing through the work of the apostles. And today's title to the sermon is No Turning Back. And we're looking at Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. And we're asking the question, what gives us the confidence to believe the apostles' message, to believe the gospel, and how are we to respond to opposition? Our mission focus for this month of July is on the work of special religious education, scripture in our schools and those who teach it, and on Anglican school chaplains. We'll be praying for them also. So let's begin by prayer together. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to meet together with your people, to encourage one another as we wait for the day when your Son, Jesus Christ, comes and takes us home to be with you forever. We thank you for an opportunity, Father, to worship you. And we pray that as we do, we'll engage in what we say and how we pray. That we'll listen to your word with expectation. We'll engage in what we hear to apply to our lives. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that we indeed will be a means of encouragement to one another and to bring glory to your name. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's sing our very first song, which is How Great is Our God. Please stand with me.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. And age to age,
how great is our God.
just turn to the people nearby you and say, good morning, welcome to church. The Lord be with you. And those of you at home as well, just your family and gathering with you, the Lord be with you and also with you. Please be seated, and our children, as they leave now, I'll pray for them as they go off to kids' church. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our children here that have come this morning with their parents, and we thank you, Father, for an opportunity to share in worship of you with them and for them to hear the good news about Jesus and to grow in their knowledge and love of you. We go with them now, we pray. We look forward to hearing what they learn of you from your word today. Amen. Bye, kids. See you a little later. Since then, we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let's us hold fast to our confession, the scriptures remind us. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Listen also then with confidence and draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of our need, writes the writer to Hebrews. And John writes, if we say then if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible tells us not to hide our sins from God, our Heavenly Father, but to take this opportunity when we meet together or are listening in to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart so that we may be forgiven for the first time or for the next time through his boundless goodness and mercy. So let us approach the throne of our gracious God with a true heart in full assurance of faith and pray together this prayer. Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are repentant, according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God and loving Father, we rejoice that you pardon and you forgive those who truly repent and sincerely believe your holy gospel. So, Father, grant us true repentance and your Holy Spirit that we may live godly, righteous, and holy lives. And finally, come to your eternal glory through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, Janice is going to come to us now and read to us from God's word, but first she'll pray for us, and we can follow along on the screen or in your Bibles, or in the handout that's been given to you as you came in today. Thanks, Janice.
Let me pray before we hear the reading. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The reading is Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, keep that Bible reading open before you as we continue now. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. Let's continue in our Bible teaching time. The Apostle Peter and John had gone to pray at the temple, you remember. They had met a lame man on the way, and continuing the ministry of Jesus through them in the power of the presence of Jesus by his Holy Spirit, the lame man was healed. This brought great joy to the once was lame man, and with it also a great commotion. Peter takes the opportunity of the miracle to proclaim the gospel to the people as Jesus had taught them to do. And remarkably, 2,000 people believed, which tells us not only of the power of the gospel to save and the means by which God uses to save people like ourselves, but something also of how large the crowd was that responded to the miracle. The temple authorities are brought in to bring order, and after a night in jail, the apostles with the once was lame man are brought before the Jewish leaders of the Sanhedrin to explain themselves. By what name, by what authority have you done this? They asked Peter and John. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, tells them the gospel. Not liking what they hear, the authorities command them and threaten them not to teach or to preach in the name of this Jesus. And we heard them say, there is no other name under heaven on earth by which people can be saved than Jesus. And this is true of many of our brothers and sisters in Christ who have to face opposition to the authority of Jesus and the gospel. What has given them and us confidence to believe the apostles' message, to believe the gospel, and how are we to respond to such opposition that may come their way or even our own? Well, Peter and John were convinced, weren't they? They were convinced that they could not speak, they could not speak of what they have seen and heard regarding Jesus, what he has said and done to put them right with God. They were eyewitnesses. And for that reason, we too can be confident of what we have heard and been taught by them as we read here in our readings and what they have written in the New Testament before us. And so picking up at verse 23, we read, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people, back to church, like you've gathered this morning, and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. How did the church respond? Well, look there at verse 24. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. They prayed. They talked with God. They shared with him what Peter and John and the lame man, the once lame man, had experienced before those who had questioned them. It's not as if God wasn't aware of it, nor not present with the apostles to give them the confidence to speak and the words to say, as if God had to be brought up to speed, so to speak, as if he didn't know or wasn't there. For the miracle itself and their speaking had been done by God himself through the apostles via the Holy Spirit. This was God's doing. They prayed with God, they talked with God, because they knew with confidence, and we can too, that God was very much aware of what had happened to them, because he was there working in, with, and through them. And they prayed also immediately and spontaneously. It was the first thing we told they did. Their circumstance triggered immediately a call to prayer. And we can identify with that, can't we? How often do we find ourselves upon hearing of a person's circumstance, a brother or a sister in Christ or a relative or a friend or a neighbour or a work colleague, and we're moved to pray for them and to ask for prayer? And they also did so confidently, these first Christians. And they did so enthusiastically, unafraid to be heard. They raised their voices to God. I remember when I was a lot younger, in my late teens, walking to the station one day, thinking it was very early in the morning. It was around about 6 o'clock in the morning. No one else was going to the station at the same time as I was, I thought. And I prayed aloud, confidently and enthusiastically, of which then I get a tap on the shoulder from my minister saying, I thought I was the only one that did that. And now, as people go around with their phones in their ears and stuff like that, you see it often. So there's no excuse for us to pray enthusiastically and aloud. It could be an opportunity for us to explain what we're doing. They came before God in prayer, not as shrinking back frightened puppies, but roaring lions that knew their God, knew what was happening to them, and longed to hear their words and to bring it to him in prayer. And they prayed together as one person, one body, one common mind in unity of circumstance and purpose. How wonderful that we are beginning to see here in Acts here that a point has been reached in the unfolding of God's will and purpose for the church when there is no turning back, no retreating. The church can be confident to keep on going forward despite the circumstances that they were facing. And their prayer tells us accordingly in their words. Look there at verse 24. Sovereign Lord, they prayed, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. What are they praying? They're praying, you, God, are in control. All things belong to you, and you do with them as such that brings glory to you. And because we know of who you are and your character, it is good for us. We can do so. You fulfill your purposes for the good of your people. Your will be done here on earth, they're praying, as it is in heaven, despite what they were going through. But they also prayed with the obvious question in mind. Why, God? Why is this happening? And it's okay for us to pray also. But they pray not as ones who feel abandoned or left adrift or mere pawns dispensable in some game an unbenevolent God is playing for fun. They draw on the word of God as he has revealed of himself and his purposes. They identify themselves with God's unfolding will and with Jesus, their Lord. and there they find their answer. Look there at verse 25 and following. Quoting the opening words of Psalm 2 to begin with, "You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers of the earth band together against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen." This was all part of God's big plan. As they prayed, they knew nothing takes God by surprise, though it may take us by surprise. And it ought not to take them or us by surprise either. God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. What the apostles experienced at the hands of the Sanhedrin, the questioning, the opposition to people hearing the good news of how to be right with God was nothing new. It's all part of God's plan for people to hear and know how they have been made right with God through the person and work of Jesus, his death and his resurrection for the forgiveness of sins. God will let nothing stop it from being made known and believed. And knowing this, that they identified with the work and purpose of Jesus, they prayed accordingly. How did they pray? Look there with me. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." They prayed such for the apostles and for themselves. And we can pray likewise that people will hear the good news of Jesus and the forgiveness of their sins and be confident to believe it, despite the circumstances that they might be going through and the opposition as they preach it and teach it. And God answered their prayer immediately. And as we see unfold in the rest of the books of Acts and in the life of the church, and will continue to do so until Christ returns again. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may we be filled with the Holy Spirit and boldly speak the word of God to those whom we come in contact with. Let me pray. Lord, hear our prayer for all who do not know your love and have not heard the gospel of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Send out your light and truth through the messengers of your word. Help us to support them by our prayer and by our offerings, and hasten the coming of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Would you pray the psalm with me today, Psalm 34 verses 1 to 7 together? "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glorify in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Let's stand and sing our next song, Hear Our Prayer, O Lord.
It's been a while since we sang this one, so just join in and as you feel confident.
Please be seated. Well, Let's do that now. Let's pray with one voice as we come before our Lord Jesus, and may he hear our prayers and answer them accordingly. So I invite David to come forward very shortly after we've remained seated and say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed that's here together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life that's everlasting. Amen. David, come and lead us in prayer.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Sovereign Creator and Lord, with Peter and John, we come before you to acknowledge that you are sovereign in all things. You made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. It is by your will that everything has been created and has its being. You are in control. You've also created us with free will, so that we have independence of action and choice as to what we do. Sadly, we know that over history and into today, your people have been persecuted and attacked for expressing their faith and trust in you. We know that this is part of your plan and doesn't take you by surprise. We ask today that you will fill your people with your Spirit so that we can speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders, and fill us with your Spirit so that we will be strengthened and equipped to testify to who you are. We ask this for ourselves and for your people in all places, knowing that you are always with us and that you do this to bring glory and honour to your name and to make yourself known to all people across the world. We pray this in the saving name of Jesus. Amen. Psalm 10 says, "Arise, Lord, lift up your hand, O God, do not forget the helpless." And so we ask, Prince of Peace, you observe all those who dwell on earth. Have mercy, we pray, on those who now suffer the miseries of a war not of their own making, especially in the Ukraine. Have compassion on the wounded and dying. Comfort the brokenhearted. Confound the hatred and madness of those who make war. Guide our rulers. Bring war to an end and bring peace across the world. Unite us all under the reign of your Son, the Prince of Peace, before whose judgment seat the rulers of the world will give account, and in whose name we pray. Amen. Almighty Lord and Judge of all, we know that the governing authorities we live under are established by your hand and remain in power thanks to your good provision. It is wonderful living in a society where we have peaceful and democratically elected officials, and we bring before you the New South Wales State Government led by Dominic Perrottet and the opposition led by Christopher Minns. Please help all our political leaders to seek wise counsel and look to provide leadership and make decisions that are from a deep sense of their duty and not just for a few from their own side of politics. Help them to have courage and to seek your guidance. Thank you for all who serve us in our state legislature, and we ask that you will be with them as they do their jobs professionally and well. Amen. Amen. Lord God, our foundation and rock, we thank you for the leadership of our diocese, and thank you especially for the Most Reverend Kanishka Raphael, our Archbishop. We ask that as he steers a course... We don't do that. Thank you especially for the Most Reverend Kanishka Raphael, our Archbishop. We ask that you will be with him always and give him insight into how to lead the diocese. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wider team of bishops and other staff across the diocese. We ask that you will give them unity of purpose and help them to work as a cohesive and collaborative team on behalf of your people. Heavenly Father, we bring before you all our brothers and sisters across the diocese today and ask that you will bless each parish as it meets. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, our Saviour, we thank you for the opportunity to make you known in schools across the state and for the work done by scripture teachers and school chaplains in a wide range of schools. We thank you for the way this creates a connection between local churches and schools and ask that you will help to make these relationships strong and positive as ways for the church to be able to help and be involved in the life of their local communities. We thank you for the dedicated volunteers and school chaplains who invest their time and effort in the preparation and leading of the classes. Please give them wisdom and insight into how to reveal your word and your love for all people and your desire for us to all turn to you and acknowledge our need of you. Give them patience and strength for when it is needed in standing in front of their class. We thank you for the students who attend Scripture. Please open their hearts and minds to not just be hearers of your word, but doers also. We ask that by your Spirit you will be growing them in their knowledge and love of you and how that changes them and their lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you do in this part of your kingdom. Amen. Loving Father, we give you great thanks for this parish. We thank you for the unity we have as we strive to more and more be growing as followers of Jesus together. Work within us by your Spirit to help us to clothe ourselves as your people with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Give us open and generous hearts and the willingness to forgive each other as you have forgiven us. Please work your peace in our lives and give us thankful hearts so that whatever we do it all in your name and giving thanks to you for everything. Heavenly Father, we also have a number of people who have special needs at this time, in particular Lynn Clark, Jean Steele, Kay Woodcock, Max Schweitzer, Jennifer O'Neill, Brian Cave, and Phil Smart. We bring them before you now, turning to you and trusting that you will provide what is needed for each of them at this time. Amen. Lord our Father, we bring all these matters and others on our hearts to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us finish praying today with a set prayer and pray for the grace to follow Christ more closely. So together. Almighty God, our hope and strength, without you we falter. Help us to follow Christ and to live according to your will. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care and guide us in justice and truth. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and truth that we may tell of your saving works. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. Amen.
Thanks, David. Well, tomorrow night we invite you to join us here between 7 and 8 o'clock to pray. It's our parish prayer night, the first Monday of the month, or to set aside a time during the day to pray for the work of God in this place and beyond. I'd invite you to join with me also next Sunday night. I've been invited to preach at the Presbyterian Church on Daniel 10. Thank you, Presbyterian Church. It's a very difficult passage, but I look forward to preaching that next Sunday night and the fellowship that's there. And they've invited anyone who might like to come and join me that night with them. It's a small little gathering that meets, you'd be welcome to join with them on Sunday night. The time for that is between 5 and 6 o'clock on Sunday night. Amen. We have a dinner coming up on the 16th of July where Shine will come and speak to us. Please place your name on the back of the on the table up there on the list if you're able to come. And that'll be a catered dinner, not by me or Rosie or someone here, but we're getting the catering to come in. And so there'll be a cost towards that of $10. So please, if you're wanting to come along to that, please put your name on the list at the back of the church. On the 17th of July, not next Sunday, but the following Sunday, we have a guest speaker, and that's Rick George. He's with the Bible League, and he'll be giving a deputation, and as well as in the context of our sermon series, we'll be thinking now as Acts unfolds, the persecution, the opposition continues to grow, and yet the church grows despite the opposition. And Rick's going to remind us of places throughout the world of which we need to be reminded of, to be partners in prayer with them as they face opposition. So that's on the 17th of July. Janice has put in about the Sunday service rosters between August through to October. We're thankful for those who are volunteering and contributing to our services. And for those who have thought it's time now to have a rest, we thank you for your contribution too. That's okay. But also, this is halfway through the year. Boy, the year has gone very quickly, hasn't it? If you wish to, if you're new or wish to think about how you might like to share a ministry in this place and beyond, and have not done so this year, there's a sharing and ministry pamphlets at the back of the church on the table. You could take one and fill one in and think, yes, I'd like to be involved in the rosters. I'd like to be involved in this way in the church. After church today, you're invited to come forward and pray. If you'd like prayer for you, Barbara and Tony will be most happy to pray for you. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? Well, today we've been reminded that we can have the confidence, despite to what we believe, because of the ones who actually heard and saw Jesus. They were witnesses, the apostles, and their message has been written down for us to believe, that we can be certain of the things we have been taught. And how are we to respond to opposition? We're to pray confidently, spontaneously, enthusiastically, not as timid puppies, but as roaring lions, knowing that our God is sovereign, and partner with those in opposition to the gospel. For God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So let's stand and sing our final song together. And as you're doing standing, I just remind you, if you're staying for morning tea, please observe safety, COVID safety. It might be a bit wet outside, so maybe come into the church foyer area here as well as outside as you have your morning tea. Thank you for your giving towards ministry in this place and beyond through your offerings.
Gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my dear.